Pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've gathered us together. You're bringing together your people and gathering to Christ. And we thank you for that. We uplift your word, and your word is true and pure. And in this word, Lord, there's the way of life revealed, the way of truth. The name of God is revealed, Jehovah. And we uplift the name of the Lord, but we uplift the word of God as the truth. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today, or this evening, we're looking at the title message, which is King James Bible and Sound Mind. Now, there's a definite link between the King James Bible having a sound mind, because if you go to a different Bible version than the King James Bible, what you'll find is that there are changes away from the Word of God in those new versions, and therefore that's going to impact your doctrine and your thinking. And that's very easy to show. Now, in today's thinking, that's not a popular thing to say, because they think the modern versions bring out, you know, the English in an easier way or things like that. But the problem is they've changed the words of God and meanings, and in different places undermine or alter doctrines, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. Besides which, many of the modern versions are made by big publishing companies that are motivated for by, you know, having their own version and making money out of it, rather than for the word of God to go forth in the earth. So let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, because our foundation is the scripture and the scripture itself. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, and this is a well-known verse, and it shows that the operation of God is for having a sound mind. The Lord wants your mind to be sound. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. So if you're thinking, having peace in your heart, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So we don't have the spirit of fear, but we do have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That spirit, and you can connect that to the word of God, because Jesus said it in John 6 verse 63 that his words were spirit and life. You can connect having a sound mind, the spirit of a sound mind, to the nature of the word of God, and to receive it fully, you'd have to have God's words properly there for you. You wouldn't want to be going to a source that was less than true, or that is to say a corrupt source. You want God's very words, because that's what the Holy Ghost uplifts and uses. Let's also look at Romans 10 verse 17. Now, this is a very well-known passage. In fact, you should have memorized it. Romans 10 verse 17, it says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you have the word of God and you hear it, faith cometh. And having that faith, it's going to come properly when you have God's word with you, or when you're hearing it. But if you have something that's not quite the word of God, or it's God's word 99% of the time, what's going to be the state of your faith? It's not going to be a fully fledged and developing faith. Somehow or other, your faith will be limited, or your faith growth will be stunted, because if you don't have God's word and you're not hearing it, then it won't be quite right. If you have 99% God's word, somehow or other there'll be things that aren't fully developed, because you need to have God's word pure and true to have faith that is solid and true. And so you can see there was a connection then between people abandoning Christianity, and a connection between people whose faith has become weaker and the rise of modern versions or Bibles that have gone away from the King James Bible version. Also, let's look at John 17 verse 8. In John chapter 17, Jesus is making a prayer. There's several key things that Jesus talks about in John 17. regarding his words. John chapter 17. First of all, look at verse 8. Jesus says this to the Father in his prayer, talking about his disciples. He says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." So point number one here is that God has given, the Father has given words to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has given his words to believers on earth. The next part of the verse it says, "And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." So you can see, number two, not only did God the Father give Jesus Christ the Son the words which Jesus Christ gave to the believers at that time, his disciples, not only did he do that, but those words, and the words have been recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, those words that Jesus has given to his disciples have been and were received by the believers. It says, "And they have received them." So they received the word. Now let's think about that. Would God give the word and the disciples receive them, and as apostles they went forth with the word? Would God do that and then just think, well, those words are now lost, just going out in the world and disappearing? Now God's intention was that the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and the New Testament and the whole Bible, that would go forth into all the world and to all nations. So he didn't expect a deteriorating or a losing of his words. He expected that those words which the believers received would also go forward in time so that they could be received by believers in the future, like us today. Let's look at John 17, verse 17. So let's go down to verse 17, the same chapter. It says there, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." How are you going to be made separate from sin, kept holy? How's that going to be a work in you if you've got a Bible that's only 99% the word of God? The sanctifying power and the truth power won't be fully there. But God said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." That's Jesus saying that the Father's word. And Jesus came bringing that word. That word is truth. We want to have a sanctifying power today that's complete and true and wholly able to work, not a 99% sanctifying, 99% truth. And we can link that to that God would get his word to us truly even today. Let's also look at verse 20. John 17, verse 20 says, and Jesus now makes the link for us today. So here we see God the Father gave Jesus Christ the Son the words, who gave them to his disciples. The disciples have this sanctifying word of truth. And now we'll see that it definitely comes to us today. In verse 20, Jesus says, "Neither pray I for these alone," that is the people that were with him at the time, "neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That definitely makes it to us today, because we weren't there, but we've believed on that word, and it's been passed down through believers telling other believers, and other believers being converted through time and space, going out into different nations till it's reached us here in Australia and today. So God definitely has put this promise in his word for us to know that we do have his sanctifying, true, and pure, lively word. His word, his Bible is provided for us. So then we just look and see, and what do we receive? We receive what's taught to us out of the proper tradition, and it's shown to us in the church. It's shown to us through, as we look at the evidences in it and surrounding it, we see everything is a witness to the truth and the fact that the King James Bible is God's providentially provided. It is supplied word, been given to us, supplied by his plan and purpose. It's ordained by God for his particular purposes for us to have today as his true word in the English language. And so God is backing up the King James Bible because it is presenting in English exactly God's word, just as He first gave his word in the original languages. Now we have it in one Bible today in English. And you know the funny thing is that many, many people in this world today are learning English as a second language or have English as their first language. English is a growing language more and more in the nations of the world today. English is throughout the main communication media, through movies, internet, everything. So how can we dispute that God's plan is to use this King James Bible, which has been upheld as the best translation in the world by people historically, that when they compare it to any translation in any language at any time, the King James Bible has always been upheld, and we understand, as we've looked at it, that there's no place in there where there's actually an error. When people say, oh, there's a contradiction or error, the people saying that are wrong always. You can find out just by a little study usually, and most of the time it's very simple to see, even with not very much study, to see if what they're accusing is wrong based on just their wrong ideas about God and the scripture and so on. But it's very easy to show that God's word is true and it's truly in the King James Bible. So just as there were separate manuscripts that were historically existing, you know, Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesians. Well, that was just Ephesians' letter in one document, wasn't it? Paul didn't send a whole Bible, he just wrote one letter to Ephesus. Well, that one page or pages of writing, that one document, if it was in a scroll, it would be one page, that one document had to get gathered together to become part of the whole Bible, what we call the canon. Well, which Bible has all the different books joined together into one perfect whole in unity? Well, you can't find that in Hebrew or Greek, because Hebrew only has the Old Testament and Greek the New. You can't find that in any language where it's 100% perfect, but when people who are believers of the scripture have looked, they've seen, and we can show it very easily as we teach it here in Victory Faith Centre, that the English King James Bible is the number one Bible representative, and it's a standard, and we can show that very easily, much more than what you could try and say for any version or translation ever to be made or has been made. So it's very important for us to understand the King James Bible is truth, and it's a standard. Let's also look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 15 to 17, because we're linking together this idea of having this perfect Bible with your thinking will be right. You have to have right thinking to accept that the King James Bible is right, and also to accept that it's right, even if you don't understand much about it, but you can just take it by faith, which of course much of Christianity is where you might not understand much about it, but you just launch out in faith. I'm sure people didn't understand everything about being born again when they got born again, but they certainly understood enough to have the faith to get born again. You know, it's only afterwards that we can find out all the different words that are describing parts of being born again, such as, you know, regeneration and so on, and conversion and everything. But to be born again, we only have to have a basic faith in certain things, and when we're at that level of knowledge and we make the proper decision, we're born again. But as we grow in knowledge of the scripture, we understand more about it. That's the same with this issue about the King James Bible being true. We can have a certain faith knowledge and say, I accept that that's true. I believe God has got his word to us today here in English and it's for the world. We can have a faith level to accept and believe that. But God won't let that belief down, because as we study, and I know in my study, but as we study, you'll see that that's true. And scripture after scripture will bring it out. And as you study and hear the ministry in Victory Faith Centre, we'll be teaching, and we do teach that. And also in your own study and reading and just knowing what the Bible says, you'll know that's consistent with the scripture. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. And this is a very well-known passage talking about the Bible. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, you want to have a proper Bible in order to get properly saved, or to have a proper knowledge of salvation. And there's a big error today, you see, where people don't really have the scripture, or if they're using a modern version, it's a weakened position of trying to get people born again. But when you're showing what the King James Bible says, and you're teaching salvation properly, you can be sure that you're going to have a higher level of quality conversion as compared to any other method or approach in evangelism. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know the whole Bible is true. That means not the Apocrypha, you know, not the maps at the back, that's not scripture, not the, it's got a concordance in the back, that's not scripture, but all the parts of the Bible which are scripture, you know, that's inspired by God. It was given by inspiration back when Moses or Paul wrote it, and so they're inspired words. Those words are being preserved, they're being kept. Now people make copies of that, and it's come down and eventually was translated into English, and eventually now we have it printed today in books that we're holding in our hands. And so those words in English are inspired words given from God. And this is profitable, it says, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You think you're going to have a sound mind after and as these things are occurring in your life? Who thinks no? Well, I tell you right now that as there's reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, and you're profited by this also doctrine, definitely your mind is going to be coming into alignment with soundness and not being tossed to and fro and so on. So it's very important for us to see in verse 17 that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So sound-mindedness and having the Word of God and linking those two together, it's very big in the Scripture, and it's important then for us to understand we have to have God's Word purely and truly and totally. Well, there's a few other verses that we can link together with the Scripture and the work of God into our lives, such as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. That's talking about the sanctifying of the church by the washing of the water of His Word. Ephesians 5, verse 26 says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So you want the Word of God to be a cleansing Word, sanctifying Word, Word which is able to do it. And once again, that shows that the King James Bible, as a Bible that the church has, and as the church holds on to it, there's that work of sanctifying. Well, you know that doctrines are altered in modern versions. You know how doctrines are altered? If even just a few words are altered, it has a big ramification that a doctrine can be altered. And there are examples of this in modern versions. Now, people have the idea, they think, well, you know, a modern version, let's say like the New King James Version, if, after all, it's just New King James, old King James is made new, isn't it? But you'll find example after example where the translation in the New King James, I have a parallel one in my hands right now, and for example, this is Proverbs 25, verse 23. The verse in King James Bible says, "The north wind driveth away rain." That's one thing. The north wind driveth away rain. But in the New King James Version, it says, "The north wind bringeth forth rain." So here you have an opposite. The King James says, "The north wind driveth away rain," and the New King James says, "The north wind brings forth rain." Well, they're opposites. That's not the same thing. That's an opposite. Another example is in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3, and it says there in the middle of the verse, it says, I'll just start from the start. It says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy." Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. But the New King James says, "You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy." So it's either God has not increased the joy, or according to New King James, and increased its joy. So "not" is an opposite. So the King James or the New King James have to be either of them right. You can't say, well, they're both right, they're just giving it another way. No, this is an opposite. This is one saying one thing and another saying another thing. And there's other examples as well, which I won't go into, but I just want to give you an idea that even a little change can change a whole doctrine. A little change, a little note in the side saying that the manuscripts may not have this or that, is all casting doubt on different verses and the verses that they chop out of many modern versions, they chop out whole verses and sections of chapters in the New Testament. These kind of things are not the signs of God's sanctifying word. That's where man's ideas have got in the way, where they think, well, those verses don't belong, and have some kind of excuse why they don't have that as the main text, or why they put markers around those verses, or put them in a footnote instead of having it in the main passage. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 33, you can look at this passage, it's a well-known one, often quoted in relation to this issue. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion." God doesn't have many different Bibles. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And you can see right there that from this, God wants his believers, people, to be using one Bible as a standard. He's not into this idea of this so-called liberty where people can have anything that they choose for themselves. That's man's standard. You know, one man says, "Oh, I like that modern version because it's soft on the sodomites, and I like this version because it brings out about the wine better so I can justify being drunk," or, "Well, I like that version because it just, you know, doesn't make me think," or whatever. These kind of things that people say or think concerning their modern versions, or, "Well, I like that modern version because those scholars, they're wise men and they know better." See, that's putting man above God. That's putting scholars above God. It's putting your opinion above God, and it's putting stumbling blocks in the way of people coming to Christ when you're watering down God's word or altering it from a true standard. And there is one true standard, the King James Bible. Let's also look in Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. This is a passage showing in the Galatian church that they got off the track a little bit. And this little way of getting off the track, you know, getting off the right doctrines in a little way, it had serious ramifications. So churches who have compromised or sacrificed the King James Bible for what the Greek really says, or what Dr. So-and-so really says, or what the New King James Version says, or what's the opinion of the current modern version being used today is saying, those people who have made those choices to get away from the King James Bible little by little, in doing that, they've in fact opened the door for error and stepped right in to attack the Word of God. And who's actually the mastermind behind this whole scheme and plot is none other than Satan himself. Because who else would want to steal the seed out of the heart of believers than the devil? And that's why we have to be on guard about how words are being altered and their doctrines are being altered through modern versions made by men, often who have a whole wrong approach towards God and the Scripture. And even if they were sincere, they would still be ignorant because they've abandoned the standard of the King James Bible. So Galatians chapter 5 and starting from verse 7, it says, "You did run well." You can say that about churches. "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Now John 17:17, which we read before, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So what did they get into this thing of not obeying the truth? It's a dangerous thing when you get off away from God's word into man's opinions and man's ideas. Verse 8, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." This idea that says, "Oh, we can update God's word, bring it down to the level of, you know, street people and things like that." That's an error. That's not from God. God never said to bring down his word to the point where you're changing his word. He did talk about teachers and instructors making it like the milk to bring the babies up into strength, but he did not talk about bringing God's word down to the level of the gutter to make God's word to be trodden underfoot and a thing of contempt, which is exactly what those people do who try to make a paraphrase and things like that. when they're going away from the standard of God's truth. Verse 9, it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You compromise or say, oh, a few little changes are okay, it doesn't change any major doctrine if we just allow a few little, you know, things here and there. No, that's the little gap which the devil gets through. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You let a little of the error in, that little tiny bit, it will increase. It corrupts minds and thinking. Colossians 2 verse 8, just a few books over, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know that those people who build up and promote modern versions, they're not doing that out of a historical Christian view. They're not there saying this is something, you know, the Word of God's come out of history and that's great. They've got a whole different view. It's a philosophical view. It's a deceitful view, because their view is God wasn't strong enough to keep His Word true from the time that Paul or Moses wrote it till today. You know, people made mistakes when they copied the Scriptures out, so we just don't know 100% what the Scripture says in every last place. Maybe the end of Mark doesn't belong in the Bible. I don't know. See, this is an area where they begin to go into doubt mode. They begin to go into this area of what is God's word? What is truth? Because they're now taking steps away from faith that God has provided His truth. I'll quote from the New King James Version translators. They said, today, scholars agree that the science of New Testament textual criticism is in a state of flux. What they mean is, we really don't know what the Bible is. That's the New King James Version people. So the New King James Version people cannot be relied upon to help to bring the King James Bible up to date, because their belief is that the words of God are in a state of flux. And you can read it for yourself. I've got a copy here that you can look in the front where they say that very thing. So we're warned in Scripture, don't add to God's Word, don't take away from God's Word, don't cast doubt on God's Word. Believe that God is Almighty, able to preserve His words and give them to us today. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 30 and verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 30, 5 and 6. And we'll come toward a conclusion. In Proverbs 30 and verses 5 and 6, you're going to have the right mindedness as you stay with the standard of the Word of God. You're going to have a solid trust and faith in God and in His Word. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. That's not the New King James Version view, by the way. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Verse 6 says, add thou not unto His word, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Also at the end of Revelation tells us not only that we shouldn't add to God's word, we also shouldn't take away from God's word. So those versions, many of them, such as the New International Version, which put verses down in footnotes rather than have it in the main text, or that is to say they're taking away from God's word, and many words are taken out, little parts of phrases and so on throughout, those actions are in line with what God said don't do. He told us don't take away and don't add to His word. We'll finalize with Isaiah chapter 5 and verses 20 and to verse 23, and this shows you can only have one Bible standard. It's either got to be one. You can't have things that are opposite or differing. You can't have shadows of variableness. Isaiah chapter 5, start from verse 20, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. You can see that those things describe what the modern version people do. Many references to the word Lord or God or to the blood of Christ, they're taken away in modern versions. There's taking away little phrases to do with that. It's taking away of verses to do with believing on the Lord Jesus for at the time of baptism and so on. There's all kinds of little things that they take away. There's taking away of bits of doctrine here and there. Taking away the doctrine of the Godhead in modern versions. These things are putting darkness for light. These are things where people are putting the wicked in place of the righteous and to rob righteousness from the righteous. That's the real attack, and you'll see it always with the modern version people, and in the front of their modern versions, they always seem to make a comment against the King James Bible or somehow say how theirs is better than the King James Bible. Why is it that these modern people are always referring back to the King James Bible? Is it because they really know that that's the standard, and they're trying desperately to build up this building on a sand foundation to say that they're right and the King James Bible is wrong? How is it that there's more attack and war over the King James Bible issue among versions than what there might be between any other version in the whole world? And it's because there must be a spiritual reason for it, and that the spiritual reason is it's a difference between bitter and sweet. So let's think about these things this evening. We'll close with prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word to us and how you illustrated to us that cleanliness and our spiritual life, having a sanctified mind and sound mind, is connected to believing. You've provided your pure word to us, Lord. You don't speak one way and then change. You're not a God of variableness. You're not a God that changes. You're not a God that lies. You're not a God that's weak. You're able to get your word to us, and we receive that. We want to uphold your truth and grow in knowledge of it. We praise you and thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.